Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to Tribal Wisdom by Bridal Tribe. I am your host, Cynthia Williamston, and I am so happy to be sharing the next hour or so with you, talking about love. It is Wedding Wednesday, so I do have to say Happy Wedding Wednesday to all of my Twitter friends. I have not had a chance to tweet you back just yet, but I promise that I will be getting back to that tonight. So, Happy Wedding Wednesday to all of you. And I also want to give a special shout out and thank you to two of my Facebook friends who shared a lot of information with me last night on our Bridal Tribe Facebook page. It was very refreshing and wonderful. Miss Sandy Collier of Designs by Sandy, wedding planner and decor designer, and that is spelled D apostrophe Z Y N E S, Designs by Sandy, wedding planner and decor designer. I want to send a special shout out to her for everything that she shared with me last night, and Miss Mary Mason. They were both incredible about tonight's topic. And speaking of tonight's topic, our guests are on the air waiting. We are doing marriage bonds, boundaries, and beliefs again, and we're actually incorporating the element of blended family. We're going to be discussing love, marriage, and blended family. Our guests Willie and Daria are on the air, and I can't wait for you guys to hear their story and hear their testimony and hear all the wisdom that they have to share. So I'm going to bring them right in. Hi, guys.
Hi.
How are you?
Good evening, everybody. We're
great.
Fine.
We're great.
Great, great. We're going to just jump right into the topic because I'm very excited to do so, of course. I know that you guys are, too, because you have so much to say. Why don't you start by just introducing yourselves and telling us how long you've been married?
All right. My name is Daria Jackson Leganyea. And we've been married for 10 years as of August the 21st.
Yes, yes, you guys do have an anniversary coming up, and a happy anniversary. Nice, nice. Happy shout out to you guys.
Thank you. I am Willie Leganier, and I did over the years.
All right, so tonight's topic, marriage bonds, boundaries, and beliefs. We had a discussion about your marriage. Willie, you told me that this is your third marriage, and Daria, your second. Why don't you just go ahead and lead us in with the topic?
Oh, okay. Well, since this is my second marriage, it was because of the fact that I wanted to get it right. The first time I got married, basically I got married just to get out my mother's home and basically be on my own. I didn't look for all the right things. At that time, my mindset was basically, you know, if I'm with someone that's having a good time, that way I can have a good time with them and hold a steady job, I was good. And basically, that's what it was. That was my mindset. So once I, we went on with the marriage, then the differences came up. You know, all the smoke screen was clear. And I realized, wow, I want more than just fun, you know, someone that I can hang out and have a good time with. And then I realized that we weren't as compatible as I thought I was. And I vowed, when I do this again, I'm going to be smarter.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to think about what it is that I want first. So the first thing I did was write down what it is. What am I looking for? What is it that I want? And then I had an idea of what I could tolerate and what I wouldn't tolerate. And that has led me to my second marriage.
Oh, okay. I was about to say, Darren, you didn't tell me about that.
No, my second marriage. And I think I made a much better choice. As a matter of fact, I know I made a much better choice.
I like that you're making the point that you have to be purposeful when you're choosing your mate, that you wrote down what you were looking for and what the things that you were needing for yourself.
Right, right. Because I certainly left that out the first time around. And I desired having a family and being married, being in a cohesive relationship. That was something I always wanted from a little girl. So I was determined to have it.
Willie?
Well, my perspective is this is the third marriage. The first marriage for me, I got married to my first wife because I was, at that time, I felt that I was Mr. Tour, and, you know, the women in my age group just wasn't cutting it, so I got married to a woman who was 10 years my senior. And like with everything new, it was great. And then once things got very comfortable, I started experiencing things, she started experiencing things, and that whole maturity thing went out the window. So then I left, I came back, left again, but this time when I left, I think a week later, she told me she had an ectopic pregnancy and she was potty.
Oh.
So I was like, oh my God, because that was one of the issues that was going on in terms of, you know, her age and my age and wanting a child. And she shared some things with me about her medical history that panned out not to be true, as I later learned. Long story short, I was consulting my family, my sisters, and, you know, about this whole thing about this people being pregnant, because it wasn't an ectopic pregnancy. It was just, she was spotting a little bit. But the pregnancy was going to go well. And now I had a situation where this woman was going to be carrying my child. What was I going to do?
Right.
So I spoke to my sister, and she encouraged me, and I went back. It didn't work out, so I left when my daughter was two. Then I got married a second time, and that was a little different.
How so?
In the sense that the young lady that I got married to, I was older than her by 3 years. And we had a lot of cohesiveness, and we actually, that marriage lasted for 12 years, and out of that, I have my son who is now 20. But in that relationship, things were a lot different in the sense that my ex-wife was, she was very, very innovative. She was from Trinidad. And she worked for the telephone company there. And when she got here, she wasn't settled, people, you know, immigration-wise.
Oh.
So I met her, and through talking, I had no idea that there was a whole thing with people coming in and getting sponsored, because, look, I'm from a Haitian background. So my parents, when they got here, my aunt was the matriarch of the family, got everybody in here, and they didn't have to go through that. But to make a long story short, when things went south, it hurt me a lot. I went through a lot in terms of another marriage, another child that I'm going to be a weekend father for, and this time it was a male. And God only knows what happened to our young men when their father's not around. So it was really, really devastating for me.
Right.
But as I went through my healing process, I got closer to God. And what I did is I specifically requested God to put a dark-skinned sister with locks, and she had to be a Christian in my life. That was my prayer.
That's a pretty specific prayer.
Yeah. And he answered it. And he answered it. And Darren and I met at our church while we were engaged in
a production
called Maafa. Which that's a whole other tangent right there. But That's how we met.
Okay. All right. And you met and you married. How long did it take you guys to get married? And was there premarital counseling or anything that, that went down?
We did premarital counseling in a very brief way, but unusual way, because the person who we dealt with is his name is Jeff Noble. He is a life coach, NLP master, healer. So we went through that process with him,
mm-hmm.
and it did make a difference for us because it gave us a sense of awareness.
Mm-hmm.
And back with the fact that we were both active at church and engaged in a lot of commonalities while we had our individual characteristics,
mm-hmm.
that helped us maintain our identity. It helped us bond. And the most important thing that I think you need to have in any relationship is that you have to believe, the both of you have to believe in something that is bigger than the individual and bigger than the two of us, or the two of you.
Right.
And in my book, it's God. I mean, for somebody else, it could be something else. But in my book, it's God.
Great. Now, one of the things that I find really interesting is that the both of you, even after a marriage that didn't work out, you were still interested in getting married again. And I've run into a lot of people who are afraid after they feel they failed in a marriage.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah,
talk to me about
true.
That. I mean, well, where do you get that faith from?
Okay.
Well, my mom, I think, was a big help for me because even though her marriage failed with my dad, she always told me it would be beautiful as long as you get you're married to the right person.
Mm-hmm.
So she always painted, I won't say a rosy picture, but something that can really, you know, come into fruition if you work at it and know what it is that you want and know how to communicate.
Mm-hmm.
And I always wanted that, you know, and I thought it was awesome that she was able to say that to me, even though her and my dad divorced.
Right.
You know, when I was 10. So I, you know, always pictured myself in that cohesive relationship with someone that I can learn from, grow from, and we can grow together,
mm-hmm.
and you know, do the things that we both love together, and that's what we have,
mm-hmm.
and so much more.
In my case, although my parents never divorced, they did not have a healthy marriage. However, they did stick it out. And one of the things for me is whenever I want to do something and I make an effort to do it and it doesn't work out, then I evaluate what went wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And I've adopted this approach whereby, okay, I tried to do X and it didn't work, but I'm not going to go and try to do X again by trying to do, or whatever method I've used, and try and do it a little bit better. My approach is I'm going to do something totally different to achieve the same goal. And thus, as I shared with you before, I actually prayed for the woman that I wanted.
Mm-hmm.
And I definitely wanted her to be a Christian. And that was clear and evident that those were the components that were lacking not only in myself, but also in the two mates that I had, or two marriages I had previously.
I would like to add that I also prayed as well, and one of my criteria was I wanted this man to be a member of St. Paul because he would understand the culture, because being in past relationships prior to my marriage to Willie, that was a conflict.
Mm-hmm.
So I wanted someone to understand the culture, so I didn't have to continue to explain you know, why I needed to be there and be involved in the ministries that I was involved in. So that was big for me.
Right, to be able to have the way that you worship in common was very important to the both of you. And
exactly.
You wanted someone to understand. I got you.
Right.
Now, one of the elements which is new tonight that we're discussing is blended family.
Yes.
So during the bonding period of your marriage, how was that bonding period with how old were your children at the time, Willie? And tell me how you worked that out before the marriage. How did you introduce each other? You know, what was it that you talked about as a family before you became a family, an official family, I should say?
Well, number one, during the courting process, I shared with her that I was married before and then I have two children.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I shared with her that, you know, my children are wonderful and they are respectful and disciplined and all of that stuff. And it was, you know, I shared all that in the, like I said, the courting process. And then there was a time, I don't even recall how we actually did it, but there was that time for the meet.
Yeah.
And basically, Daria is excellent in terms of making one feel comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
So once my kids met her, there was an instantaneous love for them. And one of the things that I really, really, I mean, it's like for me, once I laid the groundwork of what she could expect, she just walked in there and put her own stamp on it. I didn't need to supervise what she was doing.
Nice.
So that made it really, really easy for everybody involved.
Right, for the meet. But then during the whole bonding period of the marriage, when you after you married, you moved in together, did your children live with you?
My daughter lived with us. My son continued to visit on the weekends.
Mm-hmm.
When my daughter lived with us, she was a challenge. I mean, there were times where she was sneaking out the door to go hang out. There were times where, in her own little way of organizing herself, we had just got the kitchen done, and she was doing something with her hair and decided to do something else, and the water overflowed from the kitchen, went down the basement, wiped out my computer, and all of that stuff.
Wow.
Because we're not materialistic like that, we recognized that she had an accident and coached her on it, and we moved on. And I think that was another thing that we had in our favor, that we never made the child feel... Oh, I'm getting feedback. Did we lose you?
No, we're here.
Okay.
You got feedback? Hold on. Let me see if I can take care of that.
Okay.
We good now?
Yes.
Yes, much better.
Yeah.
Okay.
We never made the children feel that they couldn't speak to either one of us about anything.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
In fact, you know, my kids, she's laughing now, but my kids would go and complain to Daria about who I was being.
Oh.
All the time.
Well, I guess it's a good thing that they were able to talk with her. Like you said, you kind of built the foundation of the relationship for all of you in beforehand, and it continued to grow after the marriage.
I think that's important, you know. And you hear the stories out there. It's like, you know, couples get together and you have the blended family, and then the woman doesn't want the new father to reprimand the kids or talk to them. It's like, if you got a problem, bring it to me, I'll handle it.
Mm-hmm.
And when you do that, the child learns that there is no cohesiveness. So when there's the natural tendency to manipulate, you're just giving them some you're giving them a leg up on you to drive you crazy.
Right.
For the longest period of time.
Right.
And the bottom line is, you know, if you really look at it in practical terms, the minute you and she or he and he get together and that family blends, then everything has to be on the playing field. Look, I can't love
my wife and can't stand her kids. And I can't love her kids and can't stand my wife. It's a
right.
package deal.
Right.
It's a
package I love
deal.
It. I love
and
it.
You need to know, you need to make that decision up front. And again, the key thing is you have got to be honest with yourself.
Yeah.
You've got to be honest with yourself. Too often we've been not honest with ourselves, so we make decisions that we'll later get on shaky ground when it gets hot in the kitchen.
Right. I know
well,
for me,
mm-hmm.
I was nervous in the beginning, you know, and basically just making sure that I could, you know, live up to the expectation, you know, because I came from a situation where I lived alone. So here I am playing the mother role, but not taking place of her mother, of a 16-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
And the first experience I had was when she got sick. She had a fever, and she needed to be rubbed down with Vicks or whatever Billy had at the time. And, you know, we didn't really know each other that well then. And Willie said, well, you got to go in there and rub her down. I can't do it.
Okay.
I was like, oh, my God. Now, you know, is she going to expose herself to me and let me do it? You know, all these things was going through my mind.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to go in there and do it because I wanted her to feel better. And it just made sense that I would do it. So,
right.
you know,
right.
She was very open, and, you know, once I began to rub her down and everything and make her feel comfortable, we started talking. And as a matter of fact, I think that night we slept in the bed together and Willie slept out in the living room. So talking about getting to know someone and being intimate.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I think after that experience, it just made it easier and easier because she was open, because I was just afraid that one day she would say, well, I don't have to listen to you. You're not my mother.
Right, right.
And she never said that to me. She could have, because she speaks her mind.
Oh, well,
you know?
I can only imagine with the two of
you.
You know? I mean.
And I'm just like, and I'm like, oh, my God, what if she says that to me? You know,
oh.
That was like one of my biggest fears, but it never happened.
Mm-hmm.
And I think because I was just totally transparent with her,
mm-hmm.
and I treated her as if she was my daughter. You know,
right.
what it was, whatever my mom taught me and then I felt that she needed, I gave it to her.
Nice. Now, I have a question from someone on Facebook. Yeah.
Okay.
The question is, what's the interaction with the kids and the ex-wives / husbands and their families? Are they still accepted as nieces, nephews, or grandkids, et cetera? So I guess it's geared toward you, Willie, about what are the interactions with your ex-wives and the kids? And Daria, do you still interact with your ex-husband?
Oh, okay. All right. My ex-husband and I are friends on Facebook,
mm-hmm.
so every now and then we may say, hey, the last correspondence we had, I told him happy birthday, mm-hmm. but that's it.
Right. You don't have
yeah.
any close interactions with one another?
No. You know, I had to shut that down.
Okay.
Because one particular time he messaged me on Facebook, and, you know, he was asking me how everybody was doing, and I think he started going down memory lane.
Oh.
And he was like, well, can I come by sometime? I'm like, no, I'm married. I mean, it would have been nice to see him, but I didn't want to start something that I felt was inappropriate, and then I didn't
right.
know what his intentions were.
Right.
So I had to shut that down, you know. Right. But otherwise, we're cool. You know,
mm-hmm.
we've gotten over our differences. We spoke about it, so we can say hi to each other now, you know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And Willie, what's the interaction with the kids and your ex-wives and Daria and you? How do you all blend together?
Ironically, the interaction with my ex-wives were quite interesting.
Oh, okay.
In the sense that my daughter's mother the way things ended, we were like enemies, and I thought it would be for life.
Mm-hmm.
And when I separated from my son's mother, or divorced from my son's mother, I thought that would have been the relationship that would take some bumps and bruises and then eventually work itself out.
Mm-hmm.
But I have a much better relationship with my daughter's mother. And till this day, even though my ex-wife is had left me for somebody and married him, till
okay.
this day, she still
has a lot of animosity.
In fact, I called to speak to my son tonight, and she picked up the phone with that tension in her voice to let
oh.
me know that he wasn't there.
And we don't have a relationship either.
Yeah.
She did not take the time to get to know me at all, knowing that her son would be influenced by me.
Wow.
Nope. Yeah.
So
that
we don't have a relationship
important.
At all.
That's,
yeah,
I said,
no.
That is so important that you would want to get to know the person that is going to be influencing your children.
I would think so. But
absolutely.
She didn't
but,
find it important. So to this day, there's no correspondence between us.
Yeah.
Unless I just happen to pick up the phone because she wants to speak to her son or Willie.
Yeah.
Wow. So she left you and she's angry with you.
Exactly. And I have been asking. I can't find nobody to explain that one to me yet.
I don't think that you will just yet. You let us know when you do, though.
That would be a separate show.
Yes. Yes, I guarantee that would be a whole hour in itself.
Oh, right,
Now, a second question to that was, how long were you divorced before you started dating again?
I'd have to say with Max, I think the second time around, it was more closer to 18 months. And then the first one was probably within a year. Because one of the things that for me, I'm always working on myself.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So, you know, I keep things in perspective. You know, nothing blows up in my face and I'm wondering why.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not that kind of a person. So I'm always working on myself. And, you know, I've done therapy. I've done Landmark. I read. You know, that's
mm-hmm.
the kind of person I am. I'm always, I'm big, big, big on the self-development tip.
Okay.
Very big. Yeah.
Okay. All right. So now we're going to just jump right into the meat of it. Now, was that your daughter living with you guys and the adjustment period during the bonding period, was that the only difficult portion of your marriage?
No, not at all. We had the issue in terms of Daria's family, the cohesiveness of her family, and from my perspective, it was just overbearing.
Mm-hmm.
I always told Dari, I said, listen, you know, I love my family because I'm from a family of seven,
mm-hmm.
and it's just her and her sister.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, my family, we're not close like that, where we're constantly talking to each other, we're constantly seeing each other.
Mm-hmm.
But we do have our occasion when we do gather, and then to be quite honest with you, I love my siblings, but there's a few of my siblings who are engaged in things, and I don't mean negative things, but just the way they're living their lives that, you know, it goes against my grain. So, you know, I entertain them less. Love them, but, you know, I keep my distance, and, you know, I make sure that I don't expose Daria to it.
I understand.
On the other hand, her family were kind of always around. Now, for one, the home that we live in, Daria inherited it when her grandmother passed. So when her grandmother was alive, as Daria used to call it, this used to be the soul food spot. You know, every Sunday, it was Sunday dinner.
Love it.
So,
yeah.
And upstairs, her sister and her husband and children live upstairs.
Mm-hmm.
So when we acquired the property, we did a lot of renovations because the house has not been touched since it was originally purchased.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, whatever it is that was going on upstairs, was going on downstairs in terms of construction, and my sister, whenever she was stressed out, she would come down here. And there were, and listen, I'm one of those people, to this day, even with my own mother, my sister, doesn't matter, even with my own wife, I do not believe that I have the right to just show up at your door unannounced. I will always call and let you know that I'm coming.
Mm-hmm.
Because in my mind, I don't know what you're doing. And then the other thing is, I always want you to be prepared for me because, you know, I like to eat. So, you know, that's just my culture, you know what I mean? So I always did that.
Right.
And they had a different philosophy because they were who they were. They would just show up. And, you know, my thing is, okay, that's the family, you know, and I had to make that adjustment.
Mm-hmm.
But then it started becoming a situation whereby it would happen so frequently, and they didn't come for me. I was okay with that. So when I did my greeting and went about my business, later on, my wife started telling me, well, why is it every time somebody comes by, you disappear? I said, well, baby, they're not here for me. So that was part of her trying to keep that cohesiveness that I shared with her, mm-hmm. with her family as well. But at the same token, they don't love me the way she loves me. And that was evident to me. So rather than make people uncomfortable, I just, like I said, did the polite thing, did the respectful thing, mm-hmm. and I went downstairs in the basement, or I was going out, or I was in the yard doing something. I just got out of their way and let them have their time.
Now, when you said that it was evident to you that they weren't there for you, what do you mean by that?
For example, the conversations that they were having, mm-hmm. it was very reminiscent of their experiences as sister and sister, or mother and daughter. It was not a conversation that I can sit in. I can sit down and listen to it,
mm-hmm.
but in terms of a participation, it wasn't that kind of dialogue.
But so they were pleasant toward you?
I'm sorry?
But they were pleasant toward you? They, you know, they were very respectful and pleasant toward you when they did come into the home?
Initially, yes. But as time wore on and then they started, I guess, misinterpreting my actions,
mm-hmm.
then those things changed.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I was like, well, what's going on? And then my wife is the ultimate peacemaker. There could be 50 people in the room, and she would try to make them all happy the same way.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, my thing is like, you know, that's not going to work. And I try to, you know, encourage her to help her understand that, listen, don't worry about the discomfort. Don't worry about the anger. Don't worry about the shutdowns on their part, because after a while, they'll get it together and come back around. But, you know, she has a relationship with her one sister. She has a relationship with her mom. And basically, those are the two important entities for her.
Mm-hmm.
So it was very difficult for her to see things from my perspective. And then there were some other things that went down. And then all of a sudden, I saw Daria as this carpet that everybody was walking on.
Mm-hmm.
And she wasn't objecting to it because she was trying to accommodate, you know, me being a husband.
Mm-hmm.
I stepped in without her permission and tried to save her from that stuff. And then that's when I started making those mental and verbal mistakes. And it kind of escalated things to the point where, as I shared with you,
mm-hmm.
I reached a point where I just couldn't deal with it anymore. And, mm-hmm. you know, Daddy was not seeing it, no matter how much I brought it to her attention. And I had to leave. I said, listen, I packed up my stuff, and I was out here for a year.
You left. Now, this was in the first year, or first 2 years of the marriage, or?
Oh, no. This was this is the eighth year.
Right. Seventh, eighth year
of the marriage. You know, there were a lot of difficulties and challenges, and it just boiled up to a point where you had to pack your things and leave.
Yes.
It was a mutual decision.
Okay, it was a mutual decision because, and that was because you said you felt disrespected because your wife wasn't standing up to her family.
Yeah.
Okay, then on the subject of bonds and boundaries, Daria, I'm gonna ask you the question: what happened on that part? Where, you know, what was your boundary? Did your family have a boundary about coming in to visit you unannounced, or you know, what was the thing?
Well, the situation is, I don't have any children, so my mom came over pretty often to see her grandkids, which were upstairs.
Right.
So that was her main reason for being here as often, and also being a support to my sister whenever my sister needed her.
Mm-hmm.
So there were times that she would come here and wouldn't even stop here, you know, because her main focus was to see her grandkids. But then there were times when, you know, let me ring the bell, you know, let me say hi to Daria. So, yes, I didn't think that was an issue. That's my mom.
Right.
You know, I didn't, as a matter of fact, I'm the type of person that I welcome company, you know, unannounced. I didn't have a problem with it being, you know, I didn't have a problem being surprised that somebody stopped by.
Mm-hmm.
And we didn't really learn, I didn't learn that about Willie, that, you know, we had that difference until we moved to Brooklyn, because when we lived together in Queens, you know, my family was in Brooklyn, that wasn't an issue. Of course, when they came to Queens, they would have to let me know that they're coming because of the fact that they were traveling a distance. Living here in Brooklyn, we all live close by. I have, you know, relatives around the corner. My mother lived maybe, what, 10 minutes, not even 10 minutes. 5 minutes away, so we all live in the same area, so it was nothing. Then you have to factor in that this was my grandmother's house, so not only was my mom coming by, there were other relatives coming by, I guess because, you know, they were accustomed to coming here, so they had to get that out of their system. They would just come by to see how we was doing, how's the house coming along, you know, talk about my grandmother or, you know, whatever the case may be. So I didn't think about it being like a boundary issue because I grew up where I was always over here being my grandmother's grandchild, and company always came. And I watched her embrace company, and no one called and said they were coming. They would just come. So I didn't understand that boundary thing until we were in counseling. And then, you know, talking to other married women, and I was told from, you know, old school women, you know, what they used to do when they would come and visit their friend, but the minute their husband came home, it was time to go.
Right, I've heard this too.
You know, and I didn't know that because I didn't grow up that way. But about time I really started growing up and really taking a look at relationships, my mother was divorced.
Mm-hmm.
My grandparents were still together, but I watched them embrace company,
right,
all the time.
So what
I had a hard time understanding that. So I took it as though you don't like my family, and I took it as though, you know, you got five sisters. I only have one.
Mm-hmm.
One sister.
Mm-hmm.
So if she needs me, I need to be there for her. You know, that was my thing because, first of all, we're 6 years apart. And my mother would say, okay, if I wanted to go somewhere, and this is as a teenager, sure, you can go take your sister. So I grew accustomed to taking care of her. And I continued to do that even through her adult life when she started having children. And I didn't even realize that this is what I was doing because it was so much a part. She was always with me, even whether I wanted her to be with me or not.
So when it got to the point where things escalated, where you mutually agreed that he should probably pack and go and you guys should seek counseling, you know, what do you think was your part? I mean, tell us about your lesson there, about what was it that you feel you were supposed to do?
Well, I needed to let them know, and my family and my friends, look, I'm married now. You know, you need to call me and let me know before you come by. prep them and let them know, you know, think there are going to be some changes because my first responsibility is home and my husband. And, you know, I won't hang out with you or I won't be able to be with you like in the same way I was when I was single.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that was understood because some of my friends were married. But now that I think back, they were married but acting like they were single because they were hanging out with me.
Ooh, married and acting like you're single is going to be a totally different topic that we'll have on a different show. Go ahead.
So I just wanted Willie to embrace everybody just like I did. Like, what's wrong with you?
Mm-hmm.
What is the problem? You don't like my friend?
Mm-hmm.
My friend is nice. She's cool. And he's like, look, when I come home, I don't want to see your sister, your mother, this, that, and the third in the house when I just want to come home and relax and be with my wife. And,
right.
I mean, I understood that. But I just didn't – something about that look, like as soon as he walks through the door where they just leave, I just didn't think that was cool.
Mm-hmm.
Because I wanted him to have – his own relationship with them, and that's what I was trying to do, but that didn't really happen,
right?
You know, somewhat, you know. Mm-hmm. But I you know, understand now that, you know, boundaries are very important. So then I learned that, you know, we should have a date night. So I started out by saying, well, okay, you know, don't call me between such and such and such and such. And, you know, it was attitude. My sister was like, oh, I can't call you, you know, because she was used to calling me whenever she felt like she wanted to call me, and I would answer.
Oh.
And then the therapist would say, well, don't you have an answering machine? And she said, yeah, it's okay to let it go to the answering machine, you know. And I started doing that, but it just felt like I needed to pick up the phone because I'm just sitting here talking to Willie.
Oh.
You know? And I didn't realize the impact
mm-hmm.
of what I was doing to him
mm-hmm.
because, I always looked at it, save the best for last. But his thing is, like, you need to put me first. You're putting everybody before me. Because you're the peacemaker and you the enabler queen,
mm-hmm.
but you're there for everybody else. But what about me?
Mm-hmm.
And I felt like you're good. You know, you don't need me like that. You know, you're strong. You're aggressive. You're smart. You know, you don't need me like that. I'll be coming on to you later.
Okay,
you know, right
well,
now I'm talking to my sister because she needs me.
And Willie, I mean. When it came to that, how did you communicate to her that this is something that was important to you, that you wanted to come first, that it was okay for her to be there for her family, but, you know, as she said, when you came home, you wanted to spend time with her. I mean, how were you communicating this to her, for her to understand it?
Well, as I look back, it was one of those things where the best way I can describe it is almost like the smoke. It had like a snowball effect. Let's say, for example, it was a comment, then it was another comment, then we got into discussion, and then sometimes it was tension filled, and I don't think that I was able to make clear distinctions for her.
Mm-hmm.
Because no matter what I said to her, I guess because of the edge and my own frustration, she saw it as I didn't like her family. And then I wanted her all to myself.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how they took it, too.
You know, and I said to her, that's not the issue, because if that was the case, whenever you decided to, let's say, go shopping with them or whatever, I would tell you, well, listen, I don't think you should go. Those words never came out of my mouth.
Mm-hmm.
And when you were with them, I wasn't calling you and trying to find out when you're coming home. I never put you through that trip. So
mm-hmm.
that was not the case. My thing was, you've got to have a time for them when you're with them, and you got to have a time for me when you're with me. And there should not be any overlap.
Now, do I mean that's an absolute? Never any overlap? Absolutely not. But, you know, coming from a sales background, I always think in terms of the numbers game. I would like to have my way most of the time. But not every time.
Right.
You know? So, simply put, that was the that was how I was communicating with her. So.
And, okay, so once you guys went through the counseling and you understood time for the both of you and family time for everyone, is that something that you guys plan now where, you know, the family gets together?
Basically, there's still tension. So we don't have, well, let's put this, well, here's how it works. The immediate family consisting of Daria's mom and our sister, the brother-in-law, and the kids, that's not present. However, there are other members of our family who still adore me, so we gather in that venue, if that makes sense to you.
No, it makes sense to me. I get you. So there's still tension in that area, is what you're saying. So getting you all together is not always something that works out, but you still do interact with her family, with members of her family.
Yes, absolutely.
We have another question that says, how did Willie get along with her family or not before they were married?
Oh, actually, you know, it was fantastic. But, you know, it's so interesting. I can't remember the title of the book, but out of reading that book, it said that oftentimes the very thing that people love you for, when they learn or when they start disliking you, they hate you for the same thing.
Mm.
So when I met them, they really liked the fact that I was this male, assertive brother. You know, we would go to restaurants and, I was like, well, why are we waiting? So I would go find a manager and get, you know, they really appreciated that. But when I started exerting that same kind of power with the stuff that I wasn't comfortable with, they wasn't happy. So initially, the relationship was good. But after they really got to see that I was consistent with who I was, then things got uncomfortable.
Okay. All right. So we had the blended family that you worked through, and we had the mother-in-law and sister-in-law issue that you worked through. We did talk about navigating changing dynamics within a relationship. Talk to me about how you guys did that. How did you, you know, work it out between each other? What was the communication like? Because you did mention that for you, communication is so important. It's a top-level priority thing.
Well, throughout our relationship, you know, Willie told me, you know, you really need to take landmark education. And in my mind, I was like, I need to take landmark education? So what are you saying? There's a problem with me and you're perfect?
Oh.
So I totally ignored that because I felt that he was, you know, pointing the finger like I was the problem.
Mm-hmm.
And like I needed to do all these things to improve myself, but he was good, you know, because he had done it before. So he saw the value in it and me doing it, but I didn't look at it that way because of the tension that we had between us.
Right. There's already tension that's going on, so you can't even hear clearly or see clearly the actual situation.
Exactly. So you're telling me what I need to do. Well, what about what you're going to do? You know? So,
well, what is Landmark? Before we go any further, why don't you tell me a little bit about Landmark so that our audience can also understand what you're talking about?
Landmark Education Corporation is a company that is in the self-help industry.
Mm-hmm.
They have a entry program called The Forum, and basically what it is you spend 3 days, or 3.5 days, all day Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and you come back Tuesday. And you can be in a large room with about anywhere from 100 to 300 people, from all different walks of life, and you have what is called a forum leader, or moderator, if you would, who engages the participants in this conversation about life and its breakdown and what we make things mean and all the stereotypes and all the conditionings and all the nuances that we parlay all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And what it is, it's really life transforming, because what they do is they challenge all your assumptions about everything. You name it, drugs, relationships, marriage, losing one, the whole gamut is covered. So I did this almost some 20 years ago, and when we separated, I felt that my last parting gift to her, so to speak, was to encourage her to do it. And because at that point, I didn't know anything else.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Daria has been, one of the things that I believe in is always being grateful for the things that people do for you.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care, you know, what happens in the interim of where you wind up at. But you always got to give thanks for what people do for you. Number one, she's always been supportive of me. We went through financial challenges, and I was in the sales industry and wasn't doing well. And instead of her beating me up, she took on the second job to hold things down.
Right.
So, you know, you just don't walk away from somebody after they contribute so in your life like that, just because, you know. At any rate, my best friend's wife had done it. And she called me up and wanted to invite me, because she wasn't aware that I did it.
Mm-hmm.
So she wanted to invite me to an evening, what is called introductory to the forum.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, you know, fine, I'm going to come and I'm going to bring Daria.
Mm-hmm.
So we did that out in Jersey. And needless to say, she signed up. Now, when she signed up, I kept calling her and finding out, well, are you going to do it? Are you going to do it? And one time she got really testy with me and was like, why are you worrying about what I'm going to do? What are you going to do?
Right.
So what you call, we were separated at that time, and I was doing my own thing. I was dealing with somebody. But, you know, I'm just doing the quote-unquote friend thing.
Right.
So she eventually made up her mind, and she did the program. And Saturday, that weekend, she called me. I was in the movie theater. I didn't get the call. But she shared something in that two-minute message that told me that she had experienced a new coming and a new way of thinking,
mm-hmm,
of life.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the turnaround in terms of us getting back together. I mean, I felt it through the message.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And here we are 2 years later, again, reacquainting ourselves and embracing this new life that we have together, and mm-hmm, it's still alive and flourishing and getting better every day. And this is something that we did not have with the depth and veracity that we have now. We didn't have that before. Because
right,
the thing was, initially, Darren and I got along very, very well.
Mm-hmm.
But it was when we started talking about the other third-party influences, that's when things went awry.
Okay. Okay. Well, I think we have a caller. Someone did press 1. I'm going to bring you in. The area code is 609. The last 4 digits are 6031. Just let me know if you have a question. I'm going to bring you in just one moment for Willie and Daria to speak with.
Okay.
Hello, caller. Are you there?
Yes. Hello. How you doing, Cynthia? This is Tanya.
Hi, Tanya. How are you?
I'm doing real good. Hi, Darius and
Willie.
Mr. and Mrs. How are you guys today?
Tanya, we're doing very well.
We're good.
Welcome.
Good. I had a question. I wanted to know, how long You said you were together 8 years before you separated, and you separated because, if I'm right, basically because the way she interacted with her family and the way you were kind of disconnected from the family?
Yes.
A little disconnected from the family. How long did you stay separated before you decided to get back together?
A year.
A whole year you lived separately? Did y'all stay in contact with each other?
A whole year.
Did you try to build separate lives or seek comfort?
Yeah, I did because, you know, when I left, I just thought that, you know, there was no chance.
You felt like she chose her family over you?
Absolutely.
Oh.
I not only felt it, but I said it to her. You know, so.
And I understand where she's coming from, because it's hard when you are connected with your family in a way, such a way that y'all communicate and be around each other, that when somebody comes to you, you feel like they are like a threat.
Family.
And I'm only speaking on this because me and my husband have been married over 2 years, and sometimes he has the same concerns that you have. So me listening in and hearing this from you really gives me some insight, because it really makes a difference on how I, or what I should be doing when it comes to family, that I don't let the truth into our relationship. Because I wasn't really taking it serious. I was just like, that's my family.
Right.
My family.
Right.
Why do y'all like my family?
Here's the thing. The distinction is very clear to me. That, yes, that is your family. And, you know, they were here before I came.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to recognize that once you decide that you're bringing somebody in your life, on that level, which is a personal level, this is the continuation of your life. This is a new chapter in your life. There's got to be a balance.
Well, guys, I'm going to interrupt you 1 second, because in about 3 minutes, those of you who are listening on the internet, you're going to get cut off. But those of you who are on the phone listening, you will still be able to hear, because clearly this show is going to do a little overtime. So, because I have some more questions coming at you from Facebook. So, so for those of you who are listening via the internet on your computer, you can still call in. The number is 347-996-3160 if you want to continue to listen in on the show. But otherwise, if you get cut off, you will still be able to listen to the entire show in the archive. So I just want to let our audience know that. Tanya, go on. You were saying that you're listening to what he has to say and what he's expressing.
Right.
And you understand Daria's point of view, because you had a similar background.
Right, yeah. So I'm really glad that you guys are sharing that. So now I will begin to take it a little bit more serious. But with us, we had some other elements, too, that, you know, when we came into the relationship, it was more so it wasn't really right. So our families had developed, you know, an opinion about both of us. So at times, we both feel like, okay, we're not accepted in one another's family. And I think we kind of... It's kind of separated in that aspect, but we, you know, we've been working to get, you know, now we're at the point where our family, we recognize that even if the circumstances wasn't there before, that we're together because of us and not our family. So we did kind of come up with that conclusion. But here's my other thing for you. Knowing that he developed the relationship while you guys were separated, how did that make you feel when you got back together?
That's a good question.
That's for me?
Well, let me say this.
Yes.
You made me take an age test before I can come back.
I know that.
I can't blame her.
I know that's right.
I'm you can take the fine, but I have to throw that in.
Oh, okay.
Daria, well, go ahead. The question is directed to you. Go ahead, Daria.
Okay, my husband knows a lot of people, and women in particular. So he has a lot of relationship with, you know, women, you know, friendly, platonic relationships. And it was this one in particular that I noticed that he vibed with a lot. And when we decided that we were going to separate, we were good. You know, we just said this is the best thing we need to do, and we decided on making moves to make that happen. And I just noticed that he used to talk to her a lot, and it was just something about it that I sensed, like, wow, he must be confiding in her.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, it's someone that I'm familiar with, and I said, you know, I wouldn't be too surprised if you get with so-and-so.
Right.
And he got quiet because I called it. I saw it. I felt it. And I'm like, yes, if that's what you need to do, go ahead. You know, I gave him, okay, I mean, if you're not happy here and not you happy there, go for it.
But like, you guys decided to come back together.
You know, I knew that he needed to do what he needed to do because there's nobody like me.
All right.
So, you know, once we started communicating again and I came to terms of my part in the relationship and I apologized and, you know, just made it known that, you know, I understand now where you were coming from, even though I didn't like the way you went about it, but I guess you need to do what you need to do based on how I was acting and being and making things mean, you know. So Landmark helped me to see a lot of that.
Okay.
So, you know, when he decided to come back, then they began to have issues, you know, because, you know, I was cool with this individual. She has been here, you know, she worships with us at our church. So, you know, it's a strain between me and her now. And
right.
I think Willie as well. There's a strain. Yeah, it's definitely a strain now because, you know, whatever she made their relationship mean, and it isn't. So,
do you feel like she crossed the line?
No. No, I just felt that knowing this, I felt that she was well aware of what was going on between us because I felt that Willie was confiding in her.
Okay.
That she knew what she was getting into. She knew that it was fresh. You know, she's a grown woman, so, you know, if you want to play, then you have to know, you have to be able to handle everything about it.
Okay.
So you're saying,
you know,
that she should have known that there was a possibility that it would not have worked
because it was fresh.
Mm-hmm.
Right. It wasn't we were separated for a year. We just separated. I'm sure she was aware of that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So I guess her hopes got up, you know, up high, and I understand that, you know, you're lonely or whatever, and there's someone there finally checking you and, you know, there for you in the way that you would like. You know, your emotions getting, you know, you get carried away. I understand all of that. But then when it didn't last, you know, you had to know in the back of your mind it was a possibility, especially because of the fact that it was fresh.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Mm-hmm. You know, that's my thinking. You know, I haven't been in that situation, but that's my thinking. That's
gotcha.
A possibility, and that you should be, you know, prepare yourself to deal with that because that is a strong possibility,
mm-hmm.
especially when you're talking about a married man.
Well, right. We also have another question. Thank you, Tanya, for calling in. Tanya, did you have another question?
I was just going to say, but you openly, wholeheartedly gave him and moved past that, and y'all can get
sure
past
did.
That. Oh, that's wonderful.
I sure did. He couldn't get out of here fast enough.
Okay. All right.
He was ready to go, and I was ready for him to go. Goodbye.
Oh wow.
Okay.
Okay. So you don't hold anything against him. Oh, that's wonderful.
Huh?
That's great. That's great.
Did I forget who? Did I forget Willie?
Yeah.
But I understood.
Y'all came together. You didn't have any,
because I you know, I know him. He just needed that, and I wasn't giving him what he needed.
Oh, okay.
And I know that.
Okay.
So that's why I say go. Go for it. You know, do what you got to do.
Okay.
All right, then. Tanya, thank you for calling, and I hope you stay on the line and listen, because we do have a couple more questions for them.
I sure am.
Yay. another question that came in for you guys is, did your daughter go back to live with her mom during the separation, or did she stay with Daria?
Actually, what happened is my daughter did go back to live with her mom prior to the separation because of the tension that was brewing, not with so much with Daria and her, but with she and I. My daughter is she's just like a carbon copy of me in terms of the way she does things and mindset. And I let her know that, listen, this is our home. This is not your place. You live here with us.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And there are certain things that I want you to do that you're going to love, like, and hate, but I expect you to do them.
Mm-hmm.
And when she was not willing to do that, I told her straight up, you are going to have to find a different place to live. Because, again, going back to scripture, when Adam and Eve disobeyed God, he put them out in the garden.
Oh.
Right.
So you put your daughter out of the garden?
Right. He put his first two kids out because they were smelling themselves. I believe in that same philosophy. I love you, but you will not run my household when you're not contributing to it.
Okay.
But she did go back to her mom, and again, because of the relationship that we have, that was not a tension. At first, she moved in with some friends who I told her she shouldn't go there. When mm-hmm. that didn't work out, then she moved with her mom.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, again, because of the relationship, my daughter is like, and then her granddaughter, it's so funny, she texted me today that our granddaughter told her mother that, I'm bored because I'm not at grandpa's house now.
Oh.
4 years old. Oh, you know.
All right. So we're gonna close the show in a few minutes, but I just want to ask, when you guys decided to come back together after that 1 year separation, what were the things, what were the principles that you can share that helped with your reconciliation? What were the things that you could say, you know, we came back together because of this, and what we learned is this, this, and this, and it continues to help us through our marriage now?
Well, first and foremost is the thing that was essential to our relationship in the beginning was our faith.
Mm-hmm.
That was the big enchilada, you know, and after that, having done the forum, like I did it twice, because after she did it, I did a review
mm-hmm.
just to make sure that I could see and be aware of my own kinks when we got back.
Mm-hmm.
Then the other thing is the whole thing about how we structured our relationship and some of the things that we were going to do once we got here together, that was discussed and planned. And then we also have the test in terms of, well, now that her family had moved out to the island, I still needed to get a sense of how she's going to relate to them at that distance.
Mm-hmm.
So there was a time where I almost thought that, oh, my God, here we go again.
Mm-hmm.
There was something, I don't remember what it was, but, you know, she was like, he wanted me to do something
that I thought was not necessary regarding the family thing, because I kept telling her, I said, listen, there's gonna come a time where this is going to come to pass and they're going to come around. You
mm-hmm.
got to give them the space to reconcile with themselves and their stuff so that they can better accept me. But, you know, my wife's eye was like, she looked up to me as being this, you know, all-knowing, all, you know, problem-solving type of person, so you can just bring your stuff and resolve this thing. And I'm saying it doesn't work like that.
Mm-hmm.
So the beauty about it is that when that tension flared up, because of the work, she was able to actually catch herself and say, you know what, it really doesn't make any sense. And she could talk more about this, but she also had a cookout. And when everybody was here, she pretty much made her declaration to them. And I'll let her fill that in.
Yes, when I spoke, when Willie left, you know, of course, that's when everybody starts talking. You know, sharing, you know, how they felt and, yeah, I didn't like this, I didn't like that, and blah, 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 blah. You know, and I listened to it, but then when I was considering, and, you know, me and Willie started talking about reconciling and getting back together, I shared it with them because we normally get together for birthdays. So it's either here or my aunt's house or my mom's house, you know, whoever decides to do it. So I said, you know what, I'm going to make my announcement when everybody's here, and that way everybody will know, and they don't have to be any telephone calls, or what is she doing, and blah, 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 blah. And I just told everybody. And, you know, they had their reaction, and I just let them know, look, I'm not doing this for you, I'm doing this for me.
This was about reconciling with your husband?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, however you feel about him is the way you feel about him, but that's my husband, I love him. And, you know, this is what I'm going to do. So
and
I said to them, I would like to have your blessing.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if not, that's cool. And if so, that's great. You know, but this is what I'm going to do. I'm grown.
Okay. Okay. It's always funny how that I'm grown always comes into the conversations when we're talking to our families.
Yeah. Yeah, so... You know,
so you made your announcement that you were going to reconcile, and you also set boundaries at the same time?
I started doing that. Yes, I started with my sister.
Mm-hmm.
And also I started the very thing that I needed her to do, I started doing for her, because there was no boundaries with me either. I wasn't exercising boundaries in her relationship, and neither was she with mine.
Oh.
And that was something that I didn't even realize we were doing.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't like we just said, well, you know, forget the husband. You know, this is what we do.
Right.
And we accept it. Yeah.
Right. You just decided to make a conscious decision on.
Right. And then I started sharing with her some of the things I learned. So I said, oh, you know, because of that, this is what I'm going to start doing. And then this is what I need you to do. Then I spoke to my mom. And, you know, my mom was like, look, if this is what you want, you know, I'm for it. You know, go for it. I'll give you the blessing.
Okay.
You know,
so
she was, and then I went to my friends. So, yeah.
Okay.
So
and
now we have, you know, we have special times when I hang out with my friends.
Wonderful.
I have special times when I hang out with my sisters. And there's times I go and visit my mom, and there's times when I have my nieces and nephews over.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but
and then of course there's
yeah.
time that you guys plan together.
And then of course, the bulk of my time is with my husband.
Right, right. So the piece of advice, because you know I normally ask people to give 5 pieces of advice for newlywed and actually you know still happily married couples who may not be aware or conscious of things that they're doing as well. So. The first thing we talked about was, you know, making a plan for your relationship.
Yes.
What would the other 4 pieces of advice be?
I think you in your planning, you want again to be honest with yourself. You want to cover those blind spots or tension spots. If you think it's one, it is one. And don't be afraid to put it out there, because a lot of times it is our fear that ruins a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
The fear and the shame,
mm-hmm.
you know. Brothers, I mean, you know, brothers being ashamed about something, sisters being ashamed about something, and you kind of hide it, and the next thing you know, it's like a, you know, it's like a water balloon. You're trying to hold on to it, and it bursts in your hand anyway.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So you definitely want to avoid that at all costs. And I tell all married couples, whenever they invite me to a wedding, they give me an opportunity to talk, I said, listen, I don't care if you spent a dollar for this day, or $10,000 for this day. But when the tension comes, make sure that, A, when you go to your friends, you vent to them. And if you have a serious problem, you seek professional help.
Mm-hmm.
Your friends love you. They hung out with you. They've been through the rough and grind, but they can't fix your marital problem.
Mm-hmm.
Whether they're married or not, they cannot fix them for you. They can't assist you in that area because there's just too much bias. Like, say, for example, you know, I like you as a host and you're a great lady, but, hey, this is my wife. So if we're doing something together, I'm always going to lean towards her because you know why? I'm more familiar. I'm more comfortable. Even though I like you, I'm more comfortable with her.
Right.
When you go into those rooms and you talk to a trained therapist, their job is to be neutral and help you see what you're doing and how you're being in your relationship.
Mm-hmm.
It ain't about, well, you know, I'm a woman, so I got to be on the sister side, or, you know, your husband is real good looking and he deserves better. It ain't about that stuff. If you have a really good, qualified therapist, that's what it's about. When you get into those rooms, you can talk freely because the bottom line, the more freer you are in your conversation, the better the tools that you will be given to use in your relationship.
Okay, so the second would be to seek professional help for...
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Don't be afraid to seek professional help for a very large problem or problems that you know you cannot handle yourself.
Yes.
Right, exactly.
Okay,
and
third...
And also, I would say, don't let things fester.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
that's a good one.
Right, because I know I have been guilty of doing that. I go, oh, I'll just let it go. You know, don't let it go. You know, speak on it. And at that time, when it happens the first time, you're not agitated. It doesn't come with a whole bunch of contention, and you're able to speak about it, and the person is in the mind frame of hearing it.
Mm-hmm.
But once the tension and it becomes aggressive, then the person is turned off and they're not hearing anything.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I'd like to add to that is that if you don't catch it when it's fresh and you decide to bring it up a week or a month later, when your spouse turns around and look at you crazy, he or she has every right to do that because you're now bringing the past into a present situation, and that
mm-hmm.
becomes very, very difficult to handle.
Right, right.
You know, because that person, because they did something and you never made them aware of it, they can't bring those feelings up because they ain't got no feelings to begin with because they never knew that they offended you.
Right.
Yeah, that's your job to do that.
Yeah, so, you know, when somebody step on your toes, say ouch.
Mm-hmm. All right, I can't dispute that at all. That is another excellent piece of advice. If something happens, speak on it right away because the other person may or may not even be aware.
Right.
That it happened. So that goes back to what we discussed before, which was communication. To really keep your communication on point.
Mm-hmm.
And give us the last one. I think we're on the last one.
The last one I would say is it's okay to set boundaries. Setting boundaries doesn't have to be a bad thing, but you have to teach people how to treat you. because they don't know unless you tell them. Mm-hmm. Unless you tell them. So if you prefer to be notified before coming, you know, to my home, you know, the person that's visiting, you prefer to get a heads up call, text or whatever, then you need to say that, because the person won't know that unless you say that.
Right, and then so, the person that you're telling should respect that and give that to you.
Right, but you also have to believe in it. And the thing was, when I started doing it, just because Willie wanted it, I really didn't believe in it because I was thinking it was something bad.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I said, you know, it is something good, because this is how you are conducting your relationship with your husband, and this is what, well, with your mate, and this is what you both agree upon, and other people have to respect that.
Okay, well, like I said, I don't even know if that was number 4 or 5, but that one right there should wrap us up.
We got more.
Well, seriously, clearly I am going to have you guys back on the show again, because because there's just too much to talk about when it comes to you. You guys have so much wisdom to share. And clearly everyone responds to it. They're really learning a lot from you. So please promise me that you will come back to the show at some point again.
Sure.
I told you already. We are committed to doing this thing, because, you know, there are so many people out there who don't know and they want to enjoy life and just don't know how to do it.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
It's what the show is about. It's not just about enjoying your life, but you want to enjoy your marriage, and you want to know how to do that. And what better way to do that than to talk to people who are actually doing it and learning their lessons and happy to share those lessons?
Yeah.
Right. Sure.
No doubt.
So on that, I mean, the last thing, I'll just repeat what they said. It is okay to set boundaries, because you have to teach people how to treat you. That is including your spouse, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah.
This is Bridal Tribe Tribal Wisdom. I am your host, Cynthia Williamson. Thank you so much for joining us. The archive will be available for those of you who missed the show or just missed the ending of the show. We will see you again or talk to you again next Wedding Wednesday at 9:30, and we look so forward to doing so. We are Bridal Tribe. We are dedicated to love. Good night.